ointment. And how do you suppose certain persons will answer me? They will say, I don't envy Scipio. That was truly an exile's life. To put up with baths like those. Friend, if you were wiser, you would know that Scipio did not bathe every day. It is stated by those who have reported to us the old-time ways of Rome that the Romans washed only their arms and legs daily, because those were the members which gathered dirt in their daily toil, and bathed all over only once a week. Here someone will retort. Yes, pretty dirty fellows they evidently were. How they must have smelled! But they smelled of the camp, the farm, and heroism. Now that spick and span bathing establishments have been devised, men are really fouler than of yore. What says Horatius Flaccus when he wishes to describe a scoundrel, one who is notorious for his extreme luxury? He says, Bucillus smells of perfume. Show me a Bucillus in these days. His smell would be the veritable goat smell. He would take the place of the Gorgonius, with whom Horace in the same passage contrasted him. It is nowadays not enough to use ointment, unless you put on a fresh coat 2 or 3 times a day, to keep it from evaporating on the body. But why should a man boast of this perfume as if it were his own? If what I am saying shall seem to you too pessimistic, charge it up against Scipio's country house, where I have learned a lesson from Aegialus, a most careful householder, and now the owner of this estate. He taught me that a tree can be transplanted, no matter how far gone in years. We old men must learn this precept, for there is none of us who is not planting an olive yard for his successor. I have seen them bearing fruit in due season, after 3 or 4 years of unproductiveness. And you, too, shall be shaded by the tree which is slow to grow, but bringeth shade to cheer your grandsons in the far-off years. As our poet Virgil says, Virgil sought, however, not what was nearest to the truth, but what was most appropriate, and aimed not to teach the farmer, but to please the reader. For example, omitting all other errors of his, I will quote the passage in which it was incumbent upon me today to detect a fault. In spring, sow beans too, then, O clover plant, thou art welcomed by the crumbling furrows, and the millet calls for yearly care. You may judge by the following incident whether those plants should be set out at the same time, or whether both should be sowed in the spring. It is June at the present writing, and we are well on towards July. And I have seen on this very day farmers harvesting beans and sowing millet. But to return to our olive yard again, I saw it planted in 2 ways. If the trees were large, Aegialus took their trunks and cut off the branches to the length of 1 foot each. He then transplanted along with the ball, after cutting off the roots, leaving only the thick part from which the roots hang. He smeared this with manure and inserted it in the hole, not only heaping up the earth about it, but stamping and pressing it down. There is nothing, he says, more effective than this packing process. In other words, it keeps out the cold and the wind. Besides, the trunk is not shaken so much, and for this reason, the packing makes it possible for the young roots to come out and get a hold in the soil. These are of necessity still soft. They have but a slight hold, and a very little shaking uproots them. This ball, moreover, Aegialus lops clean before he covers it up. For he maintains that new roots spring from all the parts which have been shorn. Moreover, the trunk itself should not stand more than 3 or 4 feet out of the ground. For there will thus be at once a thick growth from the bottom, nor will there be a large stump all dry and withered, as is the case with old olive yards. The second way of setting them out was the following. He set out, in similar fashion, branches that were strong and of soft bark, as those of young saplings are wont to be. These grow a little more slowly, but, since they spring from what is practically a cutting, there is no roughness or ugliness in them. This, too, I have seen recently. An aged vine transplanted from its own plantation. In this case, the fibers also should be gathered together, if possible. And then you should cover up the vine stem more generously, so that roots may spring up even from the stalk. I have seen such plantings made not only in February, but at the very end of March. The plants take hold of and embrace alien elms. But all trees, he declares, which are, so to speak, thick-stemmed, should be assisted with tank water. If we have this help, we are our own rainmakers. I do not intend to tell you any more of these precepts, lest, as Aegialus did with me, I may be training you up to be my competitor. Farewell. Letter 87. Some arguments in favor of the simple life. I was shipwrecked before I got aboard. I shall not add how that happened, lest you may reckon this also as another of the Stoic paradoxes. And yet I shall, whenever you are willing to listen, nay, even though you be unwilling,